Now, welcome to the show, our good friend Dave Naylor from TSN, who has a new article up on TSN.ca regarding the return, potentially, of fans to stands here in Ontario. How are you doing this morning, Dave?
Very well, JR. How are you doing?
Excellent, thank you. Are we taking away from an important conversation? Because we can wait for a second.
No, we can make it all happen.
Okay, excellent. All right, good.
There's always something in the background. Don't worry.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. First of all, let's start with your article that's up, and maybe just tell everybody that's listening right now this latest proposal that's been put forward by most of Ontario's pro sports teams regarding fans returning to stands.
Yeah, I think that there's a common interest here, you know, for whether we're talking about the Blue Jays, whether we're talking about Toronto FC, you know, or the CFL, and ultimately, who knows what the picture is going to look like by the time we get to the fall, and the Leafs and the Raptors are going to want to deal with this as well. But maybe by then, even for indoor buildings, you know, it's going to be much, much less of an issue, we expect. But I think this actually goes back to last sort of November, December, where these teams, representatives of these teams got together, had some dialogue with the provincial government, and then, you know, I can't remember now, was that the second or the third wave that kicked up in November? I think it was the second. And basically, you know, it was pretty clear that fans weren't going to be entering at that time, you know, predominantly indoor buildings, and everything was kind of put on hold. But I think, it was a smart strategy because the government has so many things to deal with right now, that some of which we know are more important than playing professional sports and going and attending professional sports. So rather than dealing with the Blue Jays and dealing with the Red Blacks and dealing with the Ticats and TFC, you know, the suggestion was actually made, I believe, by Lisa McLeod, the Heritage Tourism Sport Minister, that, you know, why don't you guys form a committee, and then we can sort of address this. You all have the same interest, and then we're not dealing with seven parties, we're dealing with one. And it was Nick Eaves, who is the chief operating officer of venues for Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. I may have that title slightly wrong, but you know what I'm talking about here. He actually fronted the request or the proposal to the provincial government, which was submitted last week. And I guess the eye-opening part for a lot of people is, look, here we are in Ontario where, you know, you couldn't play golf until 3 weeks ago, where stores, you know, most stores still aren't open. We're getting patios back in 48 hours. And yet here you have a proposal that says, you know, up to 35% of stadiums open by stage two. Stage two is due potentially to start on July 2nd and up to 100% by July the 23rd, which, again, if things go smoothly, could be the opening of stage three. And we know that the CFL will be voting on Monday about an August 5th start. So, you know, that's a very optimistic timeline where the Canadian Football League is concerned.
Dave, how important is it to get this legislation through from a CFL standpoint to start moving inventory, right? Not this idea that July 23rd, suddenly you can tell everybody they can come to football games.
Well, that's it. And the interesting thing is going to be, we won't learn about this until, like, if there's a yes vote on Monday for the CFL to go ahead and start on August 5th, I think immediately they're going to release the schedule. But we know a little bit about the schedule right now, and that is that a lot of games that might have been scheduled in the East for August have been moved to the West. And that the idea that Alberta and Saskatchewan, certainly in Manitoba, likely are going to be, you know, the most open provinces. At least I think the indications from those governments, you know, going back a few weeks when Ontario was still in a very high alert situation, was that they were prepared and were projecting that they would be able to open for fans and stands in August. And even though Ontario may be ready now for fans and stands in August, I'm not sure you're going to be able to flip the schedule back that easily. Maybe there may be some games, like, for instance, if you have a game that was supposed to be a Western team playing at an Eastern team, and that's been switched, you know, to the Eastern team playing at the West, you may be able to switch that one just straight back. But in situations where there's issues of stadium availability and one domino sort of hits another, I'm not sure how flexible the schedule is, but, you know, they had to commit to something, you know, starting about the time they announced the delayed start of the season. And there was no way to know that Ontario might be this wide open by the time we get to August. So, but it's certainly, you know, the idea that the schedule could be out as early as Monday. We could certainly learn about Ontario's availability, have fans in stands. And even if those games aren't going to be till later August or September, while the games are held mostly, you know, in the West over the summer, as you suggest, that's still planning that people can do. That's still moving ticket inventory that teams can do. It's everything everybody wants to happen, and just, you know, being able to sort of reach for that bit of normalcy where it comes to professional sports in this province.
With Dave Naylor from TSN.ca talking about fans in the stands for Ontario-based teams. The numbers that you quote in your article, Dave, that the committee has asked for, 35% yep. capacity once we reach stage two in early July and 100% capacity on July 23rd. Are those pie in the sky optimistic numbers, or does this committee firmly believe that the government might potentially go for that, especially obviously the 100% number?
Well, you know, this is just my speculation. Is, you know, the human nature is, if you want something, ask for more, right?
Right. Like, right.
Yeah, and that's you know, wouldn't term this so much a negotiation as much as it is a policy decision. But I think we know that public relations and sort of optics play a big part in what governments are doing right now. And I'm just, again, this is me speculating. This is not anything anybody said to me, but I'm just using logic here, that if the if let's say they came out and said, you know, we're looking for 35%, and the government said, sure, to 35%, would they be more subject to criticism than if they said, you know, the proposal was asked us for 35%, we're giving 25%, you know, and then for stage three, they've asked us for 100, we're giving them 60. You know, I just think it potentially builds in some room for protection for the government just on the optics of this. So, or they may look at it and they may just defer to their medical people. And if they decide it's completely safe, maybe they come out and say, yeah, 35% and 100. We've been told by the medical people, this is safe, this is reasonable, we're going to do this. But I do think it's possible the government comes back with something, you know, fewer, you know, smaller percentage of the stadiums open than what is being requested. And look, if I was making this request strategically, I would ask for more, you know, and let them tell me less. It just makes completely, you know, logical sense. So we don't know if these are the amounts the governments are going to grant, but I think there, you know, there could be a strategic element in the ask here that we may not get to 100% by stage three. But look, in a lot of instances, for a lot of teams playing in this province, you know, 100% isn't what they're at capacity at anyway. So it's, you know, if you got to 60 or 75%, that may be, you know, somewhat close to what you're used to having anyway.
I'll refrain from an Argo joke at this moment.
I know. It's there. And you know what? And it's, in all seriousness, it is an Argo joke, but it's also an Argo reality, right? If they gave you 35% of the stands open, yeah, that's pretty much what you're used to doing. So it's a line that you can find on Twitter pretty easy. But in this case, it actually reflects a bit of a reality.
I look at the Red Black situation, Dave, and I won't say it's expansion, but you got to restart and rebuild the business. Would I be accurate in saying that even at 35%, to have a home game at home, and even from a revenue standpoint, to do that is much better than trying to play a road game out in Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, or Vancouver?
You know, it's a good question, and I don't know the answer to it, and you know, because I'm not even sure how the revenue split would go. For instance, if a Ottawa Red Blacks home game is being played in Calgary, you know, and that's one of the things that we've understood with the CFL schedule is that, you know, for a 14 game schedule, every team may not get 7 home games and 7 road games. I mean, they technically may, you could have an Ottawa home game played in Calgary that would go in the books as an Ottawa home game, but we know it's not an Ottawa home game potentially. So you could have, you know, 6 home games and 8 road games and those kinds of things. So, look, I would think that, you know, the economics would be better, you know, for a team. And again, because I'm just not familiar how the split would be. Like, how would Calgary do that? If Calgary could put 30,000 people in and Ottawa could put, you know, 10, would it be still better for Ottawa to go out there? I'm sure somebody's crunching the numbers on that. And I think the numbers are going to be important here because we're not talking about a season where we're going to discuss, you know, how much money teams are going to make. They're all going to lose money. That is an absolute certainty for the 2021 CFL season. So the numbers are going to matter because everybody's going to want to lose as little money as possible. So I think it is reasonable that if you had a team that was going to, the finances were going to be substantially better playing a home game on the road than playing one at home, I can see why they still would want to go with that, because everybody's going to want to keep the losses to a minimum. I'm sure somebody's got their calculator figuring that stuff out. But that's going to be the question. I mean, somebody asked me the other day, said, hey, I was with somebody with a team who said, we have a game right now, you know, in August, which says we're supposed to be in the East, but we've been kind of led to believe that game's going to be played in the West. Do you think that's going to be flipped back to the East now? And I didn't have an answer for him, but it certainly would seem, if the only difference is, you know, putting a plane load of players and moving them from West to East instead of East to West, and that you know, otherwise the economics are going to be close, you'd figure that any way there was to keep those games in the East, they'd want to do that.
Talking to Dave Naylor from TSN.ca about potentially fans in the stands at Ontario pro sports games. Dave, in your research for this article, when you're talking to people, the issue of, you know, double vaccines and single and single doses, and some people not having any has that come up as far as what teams potentially could be looking at in terms of allowing people to come to their events or not? Like vaccine cards, apps on phones, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it has come up, and I am led to believe there are no provisions for vaccines in this proposal. Nothing about, you know, vaccine cards or proving that you've been vaccinated, or different categories of seating for people with no doses, one dose, two doses. That none of that is part of this. Now, that doesn't mean there's no sort of health and safety. That when we, you know, let's say even if they granted 100% open stadiums by stage three, that may not look like you remember 100% going to a Red Blacks game two summers ago. That there are going to be restrictions about masks, or conditions about masks. There are going to be conditions about social distancing, you know, when you're out of your seat. There's going to be conditions about clusters in the stadium and what those would look like and how they'd be managed. Especially, we know that a lot of stadiums, they want clusters, right? They want part of the stadium with a bunch of people standing and drinking packed close together, because that's part of, you know, the atmosphere that teams are trying to generate with the way the stadiums are laid out. And I'm thinking specifically in places like Toronto, or not so much Toronto, but to some degree Toronto, but more so Hamilton and Ottawa, with the way those stadiums are laid out in the end zones and things like that. So I'm not sure you're going to be able to do all those kind of things. But the vaccine part of it is not. And I couldn't tell you why. I don't know whether there are legal issues about requiring vaccines or things like that. But I know that there is no provision referring to vaccines in this. And that's actually similar to the CFL's return to play policy for players, that as of now, you know, somebody who has had both vaccines is going to be under the same restrictions in terms of where they can go and what they can do, whether it's in team facilities or elsewhere, as somebody who's had none. Now, I think that could change by the time we get to August 5th. But as of now, neither the return to play policy or the fans return to stand proposal have any provisions with regards to vaccines. And I'm not led to believe that the fans return to stands proposal is planning to have, you know, that integrated at any point.
Dave, been over a year and a half since the players have seen any pay. How desperate are they to get in and get working?
You know, I think they are desperate in two senses. I'm sure there are players that did not in their household budgets have, you know, no pay or little pay for 2020. penciled in or, you know, frankly, reduced pay for this year. I mean, it's teams are purposely spending to the lower range of the mandate in the salary management system. So it's about $500,000 less per team that every team is spending. And then, of course, you're going to have salaries prorated here with a 14-game schedule. So players are hungry for to get paid. And I think just knowing, I always say this about football players, guys, and I, as you know, I've dealt with athletes in every sport. No athlete loves their sport more than football players love football. I mean, I always think it's, you know, it's such a high pain threshold game, and you practice so much more than you play, that in order to do it for a living, you've got to love it. Football players love football. They love playing football. And I know these guys are just, you know, desperate to get back on the field and get doing it again.
Just real quick on this, as you mentioned, the Board of Governors and the CFL will vote on Monday. Is there any indication whatsoever that this thing will be anything but a unanimous decision to go ahead?
I don't think so, and I even wonder where they would even look. It's only 19, so it would be pretty easy to do a straw poll, you know, if you were the commissioner of the league, and figure out whether you have the votes or not. I wonder if they would even go ahead and schedule a vote if they didn't know it was going to be a yes.
Right.
And I think the news, you know, about what we talked about earlier, the seven teams making the proposal for open stands and other good news across the country, to me, it makes it seem very likely we're going to get a yes vote. But, you know, that's still a bit of a mystery, and I'm not going to draw any conclusions until we get to the end of Monday and see that we get this. We've had a few false starts along the way, guys. So
yeah.
At this point, I'm a little cautious.
Absolutely. By the way, more than a couple of texts have come in while you're on with us and saying that your chirping birds are absolutely amazing the way they're coming through. So wherever you're sitting, that's a gold spot. So well done. Shout out to your birds, Dave.
I'll give them a shout out once we get off the air here and let them know they've been well received in the nation's capital.
Appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
All right. Take care.